Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Sleepers Podcast, Tuesday, April 16th. I just spent the last 25 seconds ranting about how Max Homa is officially an op. How are you, Carter?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling rested, rejuvenated. Shout out to melatonin, by the way. When it doesn't give me crazy dreams, I do have really, really good sleep when I take it.
Good. Yeah, I like that. I didn't take melatonin last night because I thought I would sleep through my alarm if I did. Thought that was a good decision looking back, but I am tired this morning.
Ah, West Coast time still messing with you?
Little bit, and just like we stopped recording at midnight last night, and I was up till a little after one editing. So then I'm just like, yeah, that's a little too late. Ooh, yay! A new comment did just come in. I didn't think we'd have a comment for today's episode, but we got one, Cart. We got one. Pretty excited. Why don't you kick us off with the YouTube comment of the day?
Let's see here. This one comes from Robert Bullard. Greg and Cart, I think you shouldn't be pigeonholed to a place or status. You need to evolve to stay relevant with your fans. Can't always stay stagnant. Keep on the balls of your feet. I'm flat-footed, Robert.
I've never liked the phrase balls of your feet.
Me either. Have you ever stood on a ball with your feet?
I don't feel like my feet has balls.
I don't like it either. Can we just make that a banned phrase from Sleepers?
Sure.
First time it's ever been brought up, but I don't want it brought up again.
I'm fine with that. I do agree with the ethos of the comment, though.
Sheesh, a Monday morning ethos reference?
Monday morning ethos. Yeah. No, I think he's right. I think that's an apt comment. I think, though, what we were hinting at is a little different. Like, we're not saying we don't need to evolve. I think we need, like a vision or a goal, though. Like, if somebody comes up to us and is like, what are you guys? What do you want to be? We can answer the what are you, but we have not been able to answer what do you want to be. And I think that's a problem in this industry.
Yeah, we'll get there.
We'll get there one day at a time. I just want a podcast with my friend.
Yeah, I'm just so relatable.
I'm just so, oh no, are we Max Homa?
I'm fine with that.
I want to win something though. Like, he never wins, man. Make a putt. To the comments. Join the Discord. We read every single comment every day. We read about 2 hours worth of comments on last night's episode. That's why the episode became a 2-hour and 20-minute long episode. We should be caught up after this episode. Starting tomorrow, we should have the healthy amount of comments each day. You can join the Discord. Link's in the description of this video. It's $9.99 a month. The only comment today just came in right now as we're recording this. I Maynor says, just wanted you guys to know I almost dropped the bench press bar on my neck. Laughing at Carter talking about raw dogging the glizzy with no buns last episode.
Okay, insane description of what I said, Imaner. All I said is that for efficiency purposes, Like, it's not allowed in, like, the hot dog eating contest, obviously, like, because it's part of, like, the glizzy, you know, guidelines. But, like, if you're trying to be efficient, the bread makes it harder to eat the hot dog. Like, eat many hot dogs is what I'm saying.
This seems like you're speaking from experience. Am I
no, because wrong? I've never raw dogged a glizzy.
Like, how do you know that it makes it easier then?
That's just like common sense. Like less bread, less food.
I don't feel you should be able to state definitively that it makes it easier if that's not something you've ever done.
I mean, I have eaten foods without bread before that have proved, like I've had a burger without a bun.
And that makes it easier?
You can definitely eat more, yeah. Hmm. Not easier, you can eat more.
Okay.
Quicker, probably.
Okay. All right. I'm uncomfortable again. I agree with what Imaner said, for the record. It was a crazy sentence last night. It's a crazy sentence today as you try to do the verbal gymnastics to make it seem like it was appropriate to say.
I think those who appreciate, you know, competitive eating know that that's part of the thing.
Well, you did competitive drinking last night, so I won't knock you off your high horse. You put Myers Leonard under the bus.
I started a timer from the moment that episode posted. Still no response from Myers. Hmm.
It's a bad look for Myers. I mean, what's he got to do that's better than respond to a podcaster who challenged him to a beer chugging contest?
I could not give you that answer.
Since we don't have any other comments, Cart, why don't we ask each other a question or a comment today? Do you want to go first or second?
Second.
Okay, I'll go first. What do you think happens when we die?
Thought about that more times than I think I'm proud of saying. I don't know. I really don't. I think the one thing that always comes to mind, I feel like I just get reincarnated as some random object, like a tree on my street or something. Or like a sunflower.
What would you most want to be?
What I most want to be?
Yeah, like in your reincarnated state, if you had to be like something that's not human, but living in some form, what do you want to be?
I think I want to be a piece of equipment at like Planet Fitness or something.
So something that's not living, gets covered in people's sweat, and is made of metal.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I want to be something that doesn't go away. Like if I'm a plant or a tree, I could easily get cut down.
But then don't you get reincarnated again?
No, it's only one reincarnation.
Oh, we only have two lives.
Yeah.
Okay, in the religion of Carter Elliott.
Yeah, like if a dog pees on you and you're a flower and you die, that's on you.
Tough luck. All right, in that case, not a horrible answer.
Can I get your answer to that?
That was my question for you. Now it's your turn to ask a question to me.
Okay. It's hard to ask a question to a guy that you talk to every single day. That's all.
I have thousands of questions I'd love to ask you I've never asked you.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
Huh. Okay. I really don't have that many questions to ask you, but I'll come up with this. Okay, I got it. Simple one. Would you rather be deaf or would you rather be blind?
I think I would rather be deaf.
Want to be able to see?
First off, sign language is awesome. Like,
sign language is awesome.
Super awesome. I think I could really embrace sign language. Yeah, I would struggle. I would struggle if I couldn't see anything.
I'm a little shocked you haven't gone on a sign language side quest yet.
We're teaching Murph a little bit of sign language right now. She's doing great with it.
Nice. What can she do?
That was more. Yeah, whenever she's eating and she finishes a bite and we're not like immediately there with a bite, she hits us with this right now, which means more. Yeah.
A little disrespectful.
More please.
Okay, I was going to say, is there a please on that? Like, all of a sudden, like, she's like, hey, like, goofballs.
Hey, I'm raising my daughter to be direct and a boss-ass B. Okay, that's what we're working on.
Yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't wait for what she wants, okay? She gets it. She goes out and takes it.
Like that.
Yeah, this is us for the next calendar year.
I'm hitting this so much. I'm hitting this at Men's League tonight. No one's going to know what it means.
That's actually fire if you give someone a bucket and turn it. Crowd say more. Hey, another live comment from I Maynor. Love you, I Maynor. Thanks for carrying the show today. I heard the past 2 years, mainstream sports media, there are no stars in the men's game because the one and dones, that's why the sport is dying. Can you explain to me why Reed Sheppard, Rob Dillingham, Jared McCain can't be stars, but Juju Watkins can? Is it because she averaged 27 points on 23 attempts per game?
I think that the thing is, like, this, you don't see that type of star power as far as, like, scoring-wise in the men's game. And when you do, it's Zach Edey, and everyone hates him because he's tall and he plays for Purdue. So it's, like, it's hard to get behind, I guess. I really don't know. I just don't think the men's game has seen that level of a score to that point. Like, and I just think that the women's game, like, those stars might just be more marketable. Like, Juju Watkins has – like YG and Chris Brown sitting courtside, and you know, Caitlin Clark's got Jason Sudeikis in the stands, and all these people, and Angel Reese have all these people, and LSU have all these people like in the stands, and then like Dalton Connect's like just scoring 40, but he's cramping up, and no one's in the stands, and no one's in Knoxville. Like, I don't know. I always have a hard time trying to explain why that is, but that's just the answer that comes to my head.
Okay. I have a lot of this. First off, I think it's greatly overblown how much it's not overblown how much star power is in the women's sport. It's completely overblown that there was like no star power in the men's sport. I think that's just a lie. I think that's people just saying straight up, we don't like Zach Edey. Again, Zach Edey, greatest player I've seen in my life. The numbers back that up. He was an absolute superstar. He was a force of nature. He's a great guy, and it seemed like for whatever reason, nobody outside of Purdue circles could embrace that he was the star that he is. Guys like Reed Sheppard, Rob Dillingham, Jared McCain, why can they not take on the star persona that Juju Watkins can? First off, I think in some ways, Jared McCain did. I mean, Jared McCain was all over the place in terms of like his uniqueness, right? Like, he was a social media sensation who was certainly one of one personality-wise and interest-wise, and I think a lot of people embraced him for that. Reed Sheppard and Rob Dillingham, I do think there's an element of, like, if you go to Kentucky under Cal or you go to Duke, you're one of many. Like, there's not seven Juju Watkinses at USC. There's not seven Caitlin Clarks at Iowa. Honestly, LSU probably had the most collective star power between Haley Van Lith and Angel Reese. And is it Flauge? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Flauge.
Flauge. Like, I would argue that didn't necessarily help the three of them this year. Like, kind of, if there's too many stars in one room, that can maybe hurt your star power in certain ways. I don't know. All in all, the women's game is not, like, significantly ahead of the men's game from an entertainment standpoint. I'm very happy the women's game is thriving and doing great. And let's also be real about it. Part of why there was so much interest in the women's game this year is because the way last season ended with Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark and both of them coming back to school, in my opinion, that was like Magic and Bird of women's basketball. And there's a lot that goes into that, whether people want to be honest about it or not. Like, it is a race thing. Like, that's part of it. And that is bigger than basketball. And when there's like a respect between the two players, but also a straight up like, nah, I hate them, but I respect them, but I hate them. And it becomes bigger than the sport itself. That is when like society taps in. And we saw it happen in the men's game in 1979, long before you or I were alive. But that is what happened. And then it carried its way into the NBA for the next decade and a half. So I think those situations are very rare. The rivalry between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark was a huge part of why the women's game took off. And I know that has nothing to do with Juju Watkins, but I think people just tapped in a way they wouldn't have previously. And that allowed people like Juju Watkins to take on more of a star power that didn't happen in the men's game this year.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. The whole, like, it has to go one for one thing is just tiring to me. It's just like, it's not like, the women's game is, they have the most viewers, it's better. They have the more stars, it's better. It's just, it's both basketball and both enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, it's hoop. It's hoop. Okay. Thank you. There's the comments for today. Cart, tell the people about our sponsor, MyBookie.
Oh, let me tell you about the official sports book of Sleepers Media, MyBookie. MyBookie makes it very easy to play your way and get paid. It has everything you need on there. Parlays, player props, odds boosts, expert predictions, even if you want to get a little insight on where to place your money. You can do all that over at MyBookie. And right now, we have a promo code for you. That is promo code Sleepers. And you get a instant first deposit match bonus of up to $1,000 using promo code Sleepers. Still plenty of sporting events coming up this summer. The NBA playoffs is on the horizon. So it'd be a good time to deposit over at MyBookie and win yourself some money. So use the official sports book of Sleepers Media, MyBookie, promo code Sleepers for that first instant deposit bonus.
You heard the man. Link in the description. Shout out MyBookie. Take advantage to the show. We got some good topics today, I think. We're going to do a too early top 10. We're going to do Big Ten, look ahead. Is every team going to get better or worse from where they were this past season to where they will be next season? Are they getting better or worse? I don't know. Some of those answers are going to not be fun to say, I think. And then there's one specific player who is currently up for debate of if he's going to play college basketball next season. And I want to break down some conspiracy theories that I have based on how things are going with him right now. Let's start with our too early top 10, though. Everybody makes their too early top 25s. It's a big deal on the media side. We got to see some of this behind the scenes of the Final Four of, like, when are you writing it? Are you writing it the morning of the national championship game? Are you writing it the week before and just pressing publish right when the game ends? It's clearly a clickbaity thing. I think everybody dreads doing it on the media side because, especially in this era of the transfer portal, you truly have no idea what players are going to be on what teams. So it's a lot of pure speculation. It's a lot of just click mongering. And here's us tapping in. Now, we did wait a week. We didn't want to do this while we were gone because it seemed stupid to do. But I did ask you to go through, give me your top 10 teams looking ahead to next season based on who you're projecting to be on these rosters. I have my top 10. We'll compare our top 10. So do you want to give your full top 10 or do you want to go like team by team and alternate here? How do you want to do this?
Go team by team and alternate.
Okay. All right, you want to start at the bottom or start at the top?
Let's start at the bottom.
Okay. I am going to say right now, if you say a team that's on my list, I'm going to tell you where they are on my list.
Okay. Do you want me to do the same?
Why don't you just do your list, and as you go team by team, I will say if they're on my list with a number next to it, and if they're not, I won't give a team.
Okay. That sounds good.
Okay.
All right. So, coming in at number 10. I have the Auburn Tigers. I think that not on your list. Okay. So this is, I'm assuming Jahni Broom comes back, right? I think Jahni Broom coming back. I think they're getting upgrades at the guard positions. They're going to have JP Pegues in the fold, Denver Jones in the fold as well from last season. I like, you know, year two guard transfers, I think, take a step. They still get Chad Baker Mazzurro back as long as he doesn't do anything crazy, which is never a given with him. And also Auburn's still in the running for a good amount of transfers, but I think with Jahni Broom still in the fold, they're upgrading the guard position in my eyes. I think they're going to be better this season, from a team that was good last season.
Okay. Yeah. This seems like it's just coming back to Dusty May, but I am not positive that they are upgrading the guard spot. I don't know if I believe JP Pegues is a better player than what Aiden Holloway will be this year. Just don't know if I buy that. I think Denver Jones was a part of their backcourt being bad last season. So, yeah, he could take a step forward in year two. So could any of their guards, in theory. I don't know. I had some issues. Like, good basketball team that I circled, like, could lose immediately in March. Then they lost right away in March. I don't love it. I need a breather from Auburn.
The other part of the guard, the other part of why I feel good about them putting them at 10 is I'm a big Tahad Pettiford fan. He's a five-star freshman coming in. Obviously, I was a big fan of Aiden Holloway coming in. We saw how that worked out. But I'm a big Tahad Pettiford guy, and I think he could, you know, make an impact too as well. Okay, so I keep going through my list, and you just say
Yeah, I'm just going to, when you name a team that's on my list, I'll say where they're at, and then I'll give my
first. Got you. All right. At 9, I have Purdue.
Purdue is on my list. They're 6th on my list.
Okay, so we're close in here. Look, Brayden Smith's going to be incredible. Brayden Smith's going to be an All-American next season. Fletcher Loyer is still good, despite what people want to say. TKR, I think, is going to break out the 5 next season. They got a really good, talented freshman class coming in. And then you combine that with, like, the guys who played a little bit that are going to take steps in my eyes. So the Heidis and Colbins of the world, I think, are going to take some steps as well. This Purdue team's not going anywhere. They're still going to be a really good basketball team.
Yeah, I have them 6th. I think they're going to be great. I think Brayden Smith's going to be an All-American. I think he's going to be the best player in the Big Ten. I think we'll do more off-season stuff on Purdue. The Discord knows how I feel about this already. I think Painter has some decisions to make because Matt Painter is bringing in a 6-man freshman class. Of those 6 men in this freshman class, I think 2 of them are going to be playable in year 1. So you're bringing in 4 guys that are not going to play. That in this day and age, it's a big decision to bring in a 6-man high school class that consists mostly of 3 stars. There's a lot of players in the portal that would want to come play for Purdue and be the next Lance Jones. And Matt Painter oversigned his roster to the point that he's not going to be able to even bring anyone in unless there's some movement here. So I still think there could be some movement. We've talked about, like, Brian Wydell could be out or could go off scholarship. Caleb First could be out or could go on scholarship. I know Purdue fans don't love when we speculate, but the simple reality is Purdue to me is one piece away. They're one more starter level Lance Jones-ish guy from me being very confident they're like a 1 seed again. I think TKR is going to be awesome at center. I think Heidi is going to be great this season. Very good starter immediately. I think between Cannon Catchings and Miles Colvin, you're going to have enough there to scrounge together a good team. But if it's Smith, Lawyer, Colvin, Heidi, TKR, that team feels one legitimate veteran away from being really good. And I believe this is what Painter will do. I hope he gets to try. He needs some movement. But Purdue fans like to think Painter's not like a cutthroat, smart guy. Painter's too smart to not be a little cutthroat. Like, he's not going to get to the national championship and then be like, oh, you know what? Let's build for 2 seasons from now. Like, no, he got a taste of it now. He wants to go win it. He wants to cut the nets down. I think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see a little more movement. We're going to see one more big piece added, and Purdue's going to be right back where they were.
Yeah, I agree with you. They're still going to be really, really, really good. So it's good to know for Big Ten fans. All right, number 8. I don't think you'll have this team. I went back and forth on putting this team here. I put Bama at 8 on my list. Are they on your top 10?
I don't have them. I'm taking a full year off from Alabama and Auburn.
Okay. That's probably a good decision. I'm gonna keep on not listening to my friends and keep on going back to that one toxic person. I can't give it up. A lot of this is based on Mark Sears coming back. I think Mark Sears has the ability to come back if he'd like to. I think he would come back. Even though I haven't looked at, like, draft boards and see, like, if Mark Sears has, like, worked his way in there. I think that Mark Sears is an incredible player. I think if Mark Sears comes back, he could be National Player of the Year in college basketball. They lose Estrada and Ryland Griffin to the transfer portal, but Estrada to graduation. But they got some 5 stars coming in. They got Darion Reed, who I'm really high on, athletic guy. I think he could fit in at, like, the 4 spot and fly up and down. I think Nelson could come back as well. They got Houston Mallett and Chris Youngblood from transfers. Youngblood was pretty good at USF. Houston Mallett played for a losing Pepperdine team, but he did put up stats. I don't know how to equate that. But I think this Alabama team, if they get Mark Sears back, is deserving of a spot in the top 10.
If they get Sears back, they 100% are. Until I hear that news, I am out. I'd be a little surprised. Like, I know it would make sense because Sears is not an NBA guy. So, like, it would make sense. Go make bank in college for 1 more year. But I don't know. He strikes me as a guy who's, like, done everything he can do in college and would take the next step, you know?
Yeah, I can see that. But I'm hoping a massive bag is dropped for that gentleman. And I'm going to give you my number 17 once I go off screen and kill a tarantula. That is – I can't focus on these things here.
This might be one of my favorite moments in Sleepers podcast history right now.
Okay. I'm sorry. I wasn't going to be able to focus if that thing was just alive, just crawling over there. It just
did we get it?
Yeah, I got it. But like all of a sudden, like it was so big that it dropped like from the ceiling to the floor and I could see it at the corner of my eye. That's how big the spider was.
Do you need to go like dispose of it, or are you just going to let him writhe in pain as life seeps out of his body?
No, I'm going to let him rise, because if any other spiders are happen to be in this basement, let it be known that if you show yourself, that's what gets done to you. And if that's your pops, go call Spider Protective Services and ice up.
Do you always take a life before 10 a.m. Eastern on a Monday?
Sometimes.
Your wife is a vegan. How does she feel?
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Feel about killing spiders?
I actually usually have her kill spiders because I don't like spiders.
So she's okay with killing animals?
She's okay with making her king happy.
I'm confused. I'd like more when Meg takes over the show. I'd like some elaboration on that one, but okay, continue.
Okay, we can make that happen. At number 7, I have the Zags. They bring back every single person from the team last season for a team that actually was good towards the end of the season. I know it didn't end the way they wanted, but and I know they struggled at certain points, but they're also in for a good amount of transfers as well. I think they could pick up one or two out of the portal, but Steel Veneers is a guy that was really highly sought of but injured himself before the season. They get EK back, they get Nebhard back. Hickman showed a jump that I think could happen again this season. I just think that basically they're returning a team that was really good. And I know this can come back to bite you a lot, like thinking like the running back thing will work. But I just think this was a good basketball team and guys that showed growth. And they'll be able to maintain that. And Mark Few is still Mark Few.
Anton Watson's not back, right?
He is not.
So they bring everybody but Watson back.
Sorry, everybody but Anton Watson back.
Okay. Yeah. Watson was their best player, no?
I didn't think so.
Okay. Might have to speed dial Connor Hope and get an answer.
Think Graham EK was their best player?
They were so balanced by the end of the year. EK was playing better, I think. But for much of the year, I think Watson was their best player. I have Gonzaga on my list. I have them higher than you do because they're bringing everybody back except for Watson. But I also think they might do the Mark Few thing where they add a star in the portal. I have Gonzaga 5th on my too early top 10. Yeah, I think they were playing really well at the end of the season. Very high level. Anytime you can bring guys who have played as much basketball in the backcourt as Nembhard and Hickman back, you're going to be good. Like, there's no way that team is bad. They have maybe the highest floor of any team in my top 10.
Yeah. All right. Like that. I'm sorry. Where did you have them again? You have them, you said 5th?
I have them 5th. I have one spot ahead of Purdue. Those are the two teams you've named. I have Gonzaga 5, Purdue 6.
Okay. 6, I have Creighton.
Not on my list.
Not on your list? Okay. Obviously, they lose Baylor Shireman. They lose Farabello. Team had a really good year last year, advanced to the Sweet 16. They still get Trey Alexander back. I think
is a lot of back?
Yeah.
Has he confirmed that he's back?
No, but I think Calk's coming back.
Wasn't he – is he entering his senior year?
Calk has one more year.
Is just a COVID year, though?
I think so, yes.
I feel like this is a big assumption that Kalkbrenner's just back.
You're not allowing this?
I'll allow it, but like, I do not have Kalk on paper as a guy that's back.
Okay. If I wasn't allowed Creighton, just know I would move every single team that I already listed above them up, and I would probably slide Arizona into the 10th slot.
Okay.
That would be the move I would make. But I'm assuming Trey Alexander, Kalkbrenner, Ashworth are all back. I think that Creighton's also in play for a couple transfers as well. But I have a theory, Gregory. Baylor Shireman was incredible. He was.
Oh, are you out on Shireman now?
No, I'm not out on Shireman. I think there's another level that Trey Alexander can reach, possibly by not having Shireman there.
I agree with you there. I can't believe that's the spin after you tried to go Shireman's better than Connect in the final week of the season. And now it's, well, Alexander can actually be better if Shireman's gone.
Just let me rock.
I'm letting you rock. It's crazy in hindsight look around. I don't have this team in my top 10. I don't think Calk's going to come back. I don't think Steven Ashworth's very good. So it's going to be Trey Alexander and a bunch of nothing, in my opinion, and take a step backward.
Not a Mason Miller guy?
No.
Isaac Trout guy?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Good call. Number five, the defending champs. The back-to-back defending champs. UConn. Fifth. Yep.
Super disrespectful.
Is it?
Champs got to be one.
I went back and forth. I originally had them like up there. I think I had them originally at two.
So in my opinion, there are only two teams you can make an argument for at one. I think there's a different team that, in my opinion, has the clear best roster for next season. Like, clear, without question. And then there's the team that has the maniac at head coach, who's the best coach in the sport, who's running circles around everyone, who still has five-star talent and is still going to get superstars in the portal because that's who he is. At this point, to me, like, I don't care who's suiting up for UConn. I guarantee you they're going to get a Cam Spencer-level impact guy at minimum. I bet Solomon Ball is going to become a superstar. I think Samson Johnson is going to be great. I think they have more than enough to be awesome. Caravan's talking like he's coming back. I don't even know if he can come back, but
he can.
I'm in. I have UConn one. I think you have to keep them one for the foreseeable future as long as Danny Hurley is running this program at its peak like he is.
Yeah, I'm not mad at you like that. I honestly, looking back on it, they definitely should be higher than this, and I'll do this on that. This is probably going to be funny following it up. I got Duke at four.
I have Duke at three.
Okay. Got to have Duke up there. They will be in contention for one or two if Tyrese Proctor wasn't coming back. I'm not kidding. But, I mean, you can't argue with the recruiting class that they have. It's ridiculous. Headlined by Cooper Flagg. I think Cooper's going to be incredible in college. And they get Jeremy Roach back. Caleb Foster, healthy, is going to be really good. Not really sure what other decision. I mean, they do lose Mark Mitchell. I think it's going to hurt more than they're actually letting it out to be. I think Mark Mitchell was really good towards the end of last season. They lose Flip and Jared McCain as well. But I just think that they're returning enough. Combine that with a great recruiting class that they have coming in. Duke is easily a top five team next season.
Yeah, I'm fine putting them at three because of the talent. But I just wanted on record the 90% reason I have Duke this high for me is Cooper Flagg. It's not anything else. I think this team lost Flip. I think this team lost McCain. I think those were the two guys you would have loved to get back. And I think they're pretending that Caleb Foster and Tyrese Proctor are dudes they would love to get back, when in reality, you'll take them back. But I don't think Tyrese Proctor has been, like, he was a massive problem for Duke this season at times. Caleb Foster, we hope, is really good. I think there's reason to believe he can be really good. He didn't earn the minutes this season, so we don't really know if he's going to be really good in a huge role. Do we know what's going on with Jeremy Roach, by the way?
I'm assuming he's coming back.
The way Duke's promoting these other two makes me feel like he's not, because they did a whole podcast episode where the Duke basketball account promoted it as next year's backcourt. Ooh. So I feel like there's something ominous going on with Roach, whether that's a departure or a portal. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. This is the body language PhD in me reading offseason headlines and making conclusions. But regardless of how you feel about it, Cooper Flagg is that good. I think he's that transcendent. Whatever team he's playing on belongs as high as third. So, but they do not have a complete roster to me right now. They have questions in the backcourt, holes in the frontcourt. They just have Cooper Flagg.
If they don't have Jeremy Roach on next year's team, I'd like to bump them to like eight.
Okay.
Just throwing that out there. Okay, number three. I think you're going to hate this. I have Houston third.
I have Houston fourth.
Okay, so we're okay. I'm glad that we're on the same page there. I think it's massive they get back LJ Cryer. Kelvin Sampson's still going to be the coach of that team. They get back guys like Sharp, Juwan Roberts, Javier Francis. I think that Tugler, I believe his last name was Tugler, get him back healthy. he's going to be really, really good. I like what I saw from him this year before he got hurt. Yeah, this Houston team is going to be really good. They got, I actually want to get your thoughts on this. They got Milos Uzan from Oklahoma.
Yep.
I originally was excited about that. Milos is kind of bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very uninspired by Milos. Now look, he was only a sophomore this past season, but he's played two seasons where he played real minutes for Oklahoma. He's not a double digit scorer at all. In those times, he only shot 29% from three this year, 67% from the line. He's a good assist to turnover guy, but to me, that's about it. I don't love him. I don't love his game. I think he's a massive, like, if Kelvin Sampson is committing to that's our point guard for 35 minutes a game, I think this is a pretty large step backwards for a program that's had elite guards for about five straight seasons. So, yeah, I have him fourth just because of the infrastructure. All the other pieces you name, like Emmanuel Sharp could be awesome this year. LJ Cryer, I don't love him as much as you do. I thought he left a lot to be desired last season as the leading scorer on this team. Like, I just don't think he's a killer. I think he's like a roll out of bed, get my 12 to 15 and call it a day guy. They're going to need more from him than that unless Sharp steps up and is better, because Uzan's not a scorer. Uzan's not going to come out and get you 15 a game. So somebody's going to have to, like, really take a leap forward as a scorer, but they're going to guard. The defense is going to be elite. Kelvin Sampson bump just for, like, anytime Kelvin Sampson returns as much of this team as he's going to this season, they're going to be really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the loss of Shed hurts, but, you know, I think they'll still be in a good spot.
I just wouldn't have taken Uzan. I would have gone after other guards, and maybe they're still going after more, but, like, we heard John L. Davis was seriously considering Houston. I don't know if that's still a take at this point, if you take Milos. But he's a way better player than Milos. So
yeah, if John L. goes to Houston, they'd be my number one preseason team.
I can't imagine he will, given the fact that they have Sharp, Cryer, and Milos now. I think that'd be a disaster for him.
Yeah, true. All right. At number two, I have North Carolina.
Whoa. Okay. First big one. I don't have them in my top 10. Talk to me on Carolina.
Yeah. I'm assuming they get Ingram back, and I'm assuming they get RJ Davis back.
That's enough.
They get an upgrade at the two guard position. I'm also assuming they're going to get Kay Tyson over Cormac Ryan. Give me Elie Cadeau. Give me RJ Davis, Ingram, Kay Tyson. Insert transfer big in there as well. Like, I don't know who that's going to be. It could be Aaron Bradshaw, it could be somebody else, who knows. Clifon Marui, I think, is supposed to visit North Carolina as well, if I'm not mistaken. I mean a lot of this is definitely gauged on RJ Davis and Harrison Ingram coming back. I think those guys are going to be really, really good. Obviously they were really good last season. They got some good freshmen coming in as well. Ian Jackson's a five-star, Drake Powell's a fringe five-star, I believe. He might be a five-star by some publications, but I think this UNC team has a chance to be really, really good. It is hinging on a lot. Like, obviously I'm saying, like, if they get these transfers, they could be as high as two where I have them, or they could be like 17, depending if things don't fall in place.
Okay. Yeah, they're out of my top 10 for that reason. Just going through the guys you named, I think Aaron Bradshaw is going to play at Ohio State. I think Cliff Amarui is going to play at St. John's. I don't think they're getting these guys. I don't think they lead for these guys.
You don't think they lead for Kay Tyson?
Depends on who you ask. I think it's a very hotly contested recruitment that we did the video on it, right? He's Tennessee is right there. Like, I don't know. I am skeptical they're going to land the biggest fish that they're after here. If they get them, no brainer. More importantly, just even if they don't get them, if RJ Davis and Harrison Ingram are back confirmed, then they got to be somewhere in the top 10. But I don't know. It all feels iffy to me. Even RJ and Harrison coming back. And if Harrison Ingram is this team's, like, heart, if he's the heart of the team, I'm way out. I'm super duper out on that team. And I think you are too, even though you won't admit it.
Yeah. Anyone who's like, a lot of fake front runner, tough guy, hoorah.
And that's our leader. Like, on paper, that's the guy next year. Like, Baycott's out. Now it's Harrison Ingram. You're still playing Elie Cadeau 35 minutes?
I do think Elie Cadeau is going to take a jump next season.
I would hope so.
What's that jump look like?
If he doesn't take a jump, they do not belong in the top 10. Yeah, we'll see. Give me number one. I think I know who it is.
The Jayhawks.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Got to be. I mean, Hunter Dickinson. They return DeJuan Harris, return KJ Adams. They get upgrades in the transfer portal. They get Zeke Mayo. They get Zeke Mayo in the fold. They get Riley Kugel in the fold. They got some good freshmen coming in as well. Also, that can't be overstated. There's like two coaches, I'm not gonna say two. There's a few coaches in the country that I don't want to like have a reason to like, you know, fire up some inner like adversity kind of, or even if it's real or not. Hurley's one of them. Self's the other one. Mm-hmm. I don't think Self likes the way people are speaking about him. And I think he's going to remind some folks this year why he is Bill Self.
Yeah, I'm all the way in on a Bill Self, Kevin McCullough revenge tour. I love that.
Is McCullough back?
No, I'm saying like Bill Self wants to stick it to Kevin McCullough. Oh, like, yeah. Y'all, you ended my season last year being soft, and I'm going to remind y'all who I really am. I love that angle. I alluded to it earlier in the UConn portion of this. Only two teams could be number one, in my opinion. It's either the best roster, clearly, which is Kansas, or it's Hurley and all of his minions. I went Hurley and all of his minions. I think Kansas clearly has the best roster, the most talent going into next season. I don't think it's like last year. Last year, at the beginning of the year, it was like Kansas, Duke, Michigan State, and I forget who the fourth was, but it was like, take your pick. They're all kind of up there. There's a huge gap between Kansas and anybody else to me on paper right now as we sit here on April 15th. Hunter Dickinson's incredible, and he's back. It's crazy he's about to play a fifth year in college. He's going to be so good. DeJuan Harris is going to be back in a spot where he can be the fifth option. He's going to be incredible in that role. If he's just trying to get other dudes buckets and there's scorers all around him, he's flawless at that. He just hasn't had the right guys around him. KJ Adams, I still don't love the fit with Hunter Dickinson, but I think based on who they're after, he might be able to play minutes off the bench sometimes. And then you surround these guys with legitimate scoring types. Like Zeke Mayo is a bucket. I know Kansas fans aren't even like super pumped about him. That's how good their roster is next season. Like Zeke Mayo is a bucket. They're going to get Rylan Griffin, stud. Like I couldn't love that fit more. Who's the other wing? They already got another wing too, ooh, right? Riley Kugel. I love it. Like you went from a team that was so two-dimensional. It was like McCullough and Dickinson and that's it. To now you just add in three of the best bucket getting floor spacers in the sport, in the portal. And it's the first time, dare I say, it's the first time in Hunter Dickinson's career he has a roster that suits him perfectly.
Uh-oh.
I mean, the last time we saw Hunter just surrounded by guys who can shoot, even if they couldn't do anything else, he took them to the Elite Eight. He won the Big Ten.
Uh-oh. So
I think I'm happy for Hunter if this is how it comes together, but – yeah, I think they're going to be insane, and I think they're going to win the Big 12 pretty comfortably based on who their roster is.
Don't sleep on defending Big 12 champs.
Yeah. With all due respect, it's Milos Uzan versus everything.
DeJuan Harris. Named.
Well, DeJuan's the fifth best player. Milos is what, Houston's second best player next year? Can I give you the rest of my top 10? There's some teams you didn't name.
Please.
So I have UConn 1, I have Kansas 2, I have Duke 3, I have Houston 4, I have Gonzaga 5, I have Purdue 6. That's where it ended. You didn't name any of my bottom four. Seventh, I have Iowa State. They're getting Curtis Jones back. They're getting Gilbert back. They're getting Lipsy back. I think they could get Momchilovich back. And if that happens, they're essentially running back the same crew with some transfers coming in at the wing and the center spot. I think they got better this offseason from what they were last year based on who has announced they're returning already.
I like that pick.
Any Iowa State thoughts? Yeah.
I had Iowa State. I crossed out Iowa State for Bama. I had Iowa State at 8 originally.
Okay. I have Tennessee 8th. Tennessee is going to return everybody except Connect on paper.
They don't have Jordan James either, do they?
Yeah.
And they lost Adu. And they lost.
Adu's in the portal.
Yeah.
He's just in the portal.
Oh, you think he's coming back, huh?
He's just in the portal. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. I mean, they're going to get Ziggler back. They're going to get Waka back, who I think could be really good. He was good off.
Waka's in the portal.
Waka's in the portal too?
Yeah.
All right, Tennessee's not on my list anymore then. It can't be.
In my head, Adu and Waka.
In my head, they're about to run back the same team with Kate Tyson as connect, and I was in on that. No. This is tough. This is tough. Tennessee's out of my top 10.
Yeah, they're both in the portal.
Okay, I'd like to elevate Marquette to number 8 then. Marquette is 8. They do get everybody back except Kolick.
Oso's gone.
And Oso. Cam Jones and the Wings, right? Stevie Mitchell. What's the other dude's name? I forget. Joplin. Joplin.
Oh, Joplin, yeah. And they get Ross. I like him too. The other lefty. All lefty back. Actually, Kolick was a lefty too. They maintain a lefty back. Actually, no, let's not even overthink this. Cam Jones is going to be incredible this season.
First incredible. Small American. Yeah.
Incredible.
I am workshopping a rather large, they're better without Tyler Kolick theory. Yeah.
Directly into my veins, Burgery.
Yep, I like it. I feel really good about it. And then my ninth team that was 10, but now they're 9 because I botched Tennessee, is Texas. Texas.
Hey.
They just landed 3 studs in the portal yesterday. I still think there's a lot of moving pieces. Caden Shedrick announced that he's coming back. I don't know who all they're getting back.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Team was not great by any means last season, but they're going to have talent. Like on paper, I think they are for sure one of the top 10 most talented teams in the country.
I think the only people they're losing for sure are Asemus and Dessou. Mm-hmm. I think those are only two.
So only one guy mattered that they lose.
Yeah, Dessou. Gregory, I love this pick, mainly because Texas has my favorite freshman in the country and will be the best freshman in the country next season, and Trey Johnson. He's going to be incredible.
Wow, I love that pick. Okay.
I love that dude. Absolutely love him.
I love that pick. All right, I have to add a 10th now that I botched Tennessee, and I think this is going to cause some people to fall out of their chairs. Indiana is 10th on my list next season. I think the Hoosiers are back. I think they're back, and I think they're really good.
Let Woody cook?
So hear me out. Malik Renew's very good. He doesn't need to take a leap, and he's very good. If he does get better, that's great. But he doesn't need to. He's very good. Umar Ballo is a stud. And I'm projecting they get him. They haven't fully landed him. But Umar Ballo's like, I mean, where else are you going to get a dude who has started 30-plus games and back-to-back seasons on a 30-win team each year? Like, this dude, and he doesn't need the ball in his hands. He's just a no-nonsense great center immediately. And Khalil Ware was great. He also came with some nonsense. And that nonsense was minimized for the most part. But, like, I think Ballo is a better player than Khalil Ware in college. I really do.
I want on record. I hate that, but.
We can fight about it. I think he's better for a college team that's trying to win games than Khalil Ware is. And it doesn't fit perfectly with Renew, but you don't have to play them together this year because Woodson went out and got actual talent. He did. We can't knock him for this anymore. I've said for years, the most powerful thing in college basketball is a pro who returns for their second season. Enter Mackenzie Mbako, who, by the way, for the final month of the season, completely different player than he was the first 3.5 months. Mackenzie Mbako was a killer for the final month of the year. And if he is who he was for the final month of the year for a full season this year, he might be the Big Ten player of the year. Like, he's that good. He's that good. And this is just the front court. They added 2 sophomores that are killers. Like, they're going to get Cannon Carlisle. They just got Miles Rice. Those dudes are buckets. And everyone's talking about their 3-point shooting percentage as if the attempts aren't what matters here. Both these dudes attempted like 4.5 threes off the dribble a game last season. And whether or not they're elite shooters or streaky shooters or bad shooters, I don't really care. You have to guard those dudes. You didn't have to guard Indiana's guards in the past. So if you have to guard Indiana's guards and you have to guard Mbako, that's going to leave Renu and Bala with one-on-one situations. Even if they can't make the shots, they're going to be so good on the offensive boards. I get that it's not cool to think Mike Woodson's doing a good job and it's fun to make jokes. This is a top 10 talent roster next season without question. If they land Balo and Carlisle, Bryson Tucker off the bench, Trey Galloway, I haven't even mentioned. I mean, Trey Galloway was the second best player on Indiana last season. Now he's like sixth on paper. This team's loaded. I think this team's going to shock a lot of people.
I'm with you that they're talented and they're good. 10's crazy, but I'm with you on board that they're good. Also, a little fun, how much NIL they're getting game. How much money is Indiana spending between Cannon Carlisle, Miles Rice, and Umar Bhalo?
Do you know the number, or are you asking me to speculate?
I know.
Based on what I heard Bryson Tucker got, I would guess each of these guys are getting $750,000.
They are spending $3.3 million between the three.
On who?
On Bhalo, Rice, and Carlisle.
Get your pockets up.
Like this, I love
do
it.
Do we not love that?
Oh, no. I'm saying this as an endearing term. I love that.
Yeah, the candy stripes are back, as far as I'm concerned. Like, I'm shaking the dust off.
Can we clap it up for the boosters of Indiana, the donor? That's how you NIL. That's how you put your Knicks where your patio is. You sink where the biz is, whatever term you want to use. Good on you, Indiana.
Yeah, Ben Higgins' Guatemalan coffee company must have done numbers in Q4 last year because it's going crazy right now. All right, there's your way too early top 10s. I can't wait to be completely wrong about all of that. Next topic, Big Ten better or worse. I want to go through every team in the Big Ten from last season. I want you to tell me whether they're going to be better or worse next season. We're going to go back to our good friend, Ken Pomeroy, Mr. Pomwaz. Rankings at the end of last season, and we're just going to use the rankings, and you tell me, do they finish higher or lower than where they finished last season? So we'll start at the top. Purdue finished third in the country in Ken Pom's rankings. Will they be better or worse?
They'll be worse. They'll be worse. Still a good basketball team, but they're going to be worse.
There's like a 10% chance they are better, though, right? Like 10%?
5%. 5% are the same.
I keep comparing it to Denzel Valentine's Michigan State years. There's a chance that Braden is just that good and they actually take a step forward post ED. There's a
better
chance.
Better than third?
Yeah. Like there's a small tiny window where Purdue's the best team in the country next year, and it's just Braden Smith is Denzel Valentine senior year good.
Okay. But you're saying worse though.
I'm saying worse. That's the likely outcome, but I want it known there's a window.
Okay. There's a window. Okay.
There's a window. Illinois is 10th. That's where they finished last season. Are they better or worse? A lot of moving parts with Illinois right now. A
lot of moving parts.
They weren't in either of our way too early top 10, so I would assume you think worse.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say worse.
Yeah, I'm dying of you acting like yeah, it might be better, and we just didn't talk about them.
I was gonna see what I could do there. I was going to see how I could workshop this, but I'm going to say worse.
I think it's pretty clearly worse. I like the Boswell pickup. We're going to do a video on him in just a few moments here. But I just don't see the star power. I mean, you lost three stars, and to me, they haven't gotten any this offseason yet. So you're hoping on like a collective, unselfish good team, which I'm sure will happen. But I need to see at least one like blue chip. Like they need like an AJ store or somebody like that.
Yeah, you said three stars. Are you assuming Damascus is gone?
I am assuming Damascus is gone. I know they're trying to work that. I don't know that they're going to be successful.
Yeah, I never doubt Illinois lawyers. They, you know.
Okay. All right. Next.
No. I was talking about like the credits transferring over for.
Oh, got it. Yeah, sure. Okay. Next up. Michigan State, 16th. Did you know that you finished 16th on KenPom this season?
We're going to be worse.
You finished two spots below Alabama, one spot below Baylor, two spots ahead of Mark Pope. Like,
yeah, 30 spots ahead of Dusty May. We're going to be worse.
That last one stung. Yeah, you're gonna be worse. Yeah. Like a lot worse.
We're definitely gonna be worse.
Yeah, like a lot worse.
For sure gonna be worse.
Yeah, like a lot worse.
For sure, definitely a great chance we're worse.
Like a lot worse.
All right, Greg. Yeah.
Who's your best player next season?
Jay Nakins.
Next up's Wisconsin. They're 17th.
God, they were 17th.
They're going to lose Tyler Wahl. They're going to lose AJ Storr. But they bring back a good core of Chucky Hepburn and Max Klesmit. And John Blackwell, I think, can take a big leap forward.
Yeah, I don't – for some reason, actually, I'm gonna go ahead. I think they're gonna be better, or the same.
You gotta pick better or worse.
Okay, better.
I'm gonna say better too, but I feel really gross about it. I thought about Wisconsin at 10 in the spot I gave Indiana on the other thing.
Wow.
It depends on who they get. They're trying to get your boy Fiddler. It sounds like a Michigan State Wisconsin arms race for the best player. Well, sorry, like the fourth best player in the Summit League. I think Blackwell's really good, and I think some of these younger Badgers are really good too. Like, I think Carter Gilmore is going to be a dude. And I think – I don't know. I just think there's role opportunity for some, like, freshman to sophomore leaps from guys I really believe in.
Yeah. Still got Klesmit in the fold. Blackwell's going to take a jump too. I really like him.
Crowell's back.
Crowell's really good. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Okay. So Wisconsin gets our first better. That's interesting. The Big Ten's cooked. Nebraska was 30th last season.
I think they're gonna be worse. They're losing a lot.
Yeah, I'm sad about it because it was fun when they were good, but I think it's pretty clear they're gonna take a step backwards in the post case. Yeah.
Unless Hoiberg gets the cooking,
could happen. He's handsome.
He is. He knows how to portal.
Northwestern finished 41st last season. They lose best player in program history, Budarius Lamar Bowie Jr. But they're getting Ty Berry back.
I think they're going to be better.
That's crazy. How?
Do they get Langborg back or no?
In my head, yes, but probably not.
I wish Ty Berry didn't get hurt. I would feel so much better about this because, like, who knows what he's going to be after his knee injury.
I know.
Okay. No, it's not fair. They're going to be worse. They lost Boo.
I just can't process them taking a step forward after Boo. If they got like a transfer point guard or something, maybe. I do think Barry will be really good, but
that will also absolutely murder our narrative if somehow
they get better.
Yeah, like Basketball Jones would win.
Yeah, we can't let that happen.
Can't let that. Long live Basketball Jones. Though.
Long live. Hear, hear. Ohio State, 49th.
They're going to be worse.
I don't know how. I think they're going to be better. I think Michi's good, as much as it's clunky. Like, I think Michi's a good player. And between Bruce Thornton and Michi, you have two guys that I do believe in individually. They're also getting rid of Zed Key. Felix Akpar is back. They're trying to get some big centers.
Zed Key was their best big last season.
Yeah. That's part of why they were 49th. I think they're going to get Aaron Bradshaw. I wish they were keeping Scotty Middleton because I believe in him still. But, like, I don't know. I just think there's work to be done. They'll add a couple portal guys. I believe in the backcourt's talent. And maybe most importantly, I think they actually might have a better coach. Maybe.
Lose Roddy Gale?
I don't think you're losing sleep over that.
You should be.
And I'm excited about Roddy Gale, my future shooting guard. But I don't know.
Who's a better player, Michi Johnson or Roddy Gale?
I think Roddy Gale, but I think they just needed new vibes in that locker room. Like there was something about Bruce and Roddy that didn't work. You had to shake it up.
It's not new vibes. He was already there.
Not with this group of guys.
I couldn't hate this backcourt more. I really could not.
It's not good if you are out on Ohio State, but you are.
I've never been more out.
Yeah. Oregon, 55th, now in the Big Ten. Are they better or worse?
I I think they'll be better. I think they'll be better only because they had that tournament run last season. Obviously, they lose Dante, which is going to hurt massively. But I like what I saw from the young guys last year, Shellstad, Kwame Evans. If those guys take leaps, which I think they can, I think this team would be better than that.
Altman's also the one coach who's coming over from the Pac-12 that I think can kind of twist Big Ten coaches a little bit. Like he's a great coach, great X's and O's guy that runs great stuff. And I think it's going to be hard for Big Ten coaches to prepare for him the first time around. We saw Kevin Willard like have success because he was different. And then everybody got a scout on Kevin Willard in year two. And it was like, oh, that guy stinks. There might be a little bit of that with Altman, except Altman's better than Willard as a coach for sure. I'll say better. I agree with you. I skipped Iowa. How dare anybody skip Iowa? Iowa finished 57th last year. Better or worse?
I'm going to say worse. They're losing their whole team. And as much as I like Brock Harding and Nolan Freeman, if that's it, that's not enough.
Yeah. I don't like it. I think Owen Freeman takes a step backwards if he doesn't have good guards to play with. And like right now, who are the guards he's playing with? Brock Harding, that's it.
Brock, if Samford leaves, if Samford doesn't go to the draft, or I think he's in the draft right now, if he comes back, draft. I'll say they'll be better.
Okay. Yeah, I think even if Samford's back, if Perkins is gone and they don't get a good guard, I'm worse. I don't know. Just all around weird vibes. We talked about it. Fran's kid is leaving. That seems ominous to me. I think this could be disaster, wheels fall off type season. Washington was 60th on KenPom last season. Better or worse?
Worse. I'm not a Danny Sprinkle guy.
Yeah. I'm with you. He would need to bring like his whole team with him, and then I would maybe buy it in year one. But we also saw them against one Big Ten team at the end of the season, and they got pieced by 40. So
yeah, badly.
Yeah, I'm out. I do think there's going to be a big adjustment for a lot of the Pac-12 teams just going through a Big Ten schedule. It's a completely different world than what they experienced in the Pac-12. Travel's going to suck for them. And if you don't have a win-now-ready roster, I think you're going to lose a lot of games. Maryland finished 62nd. Jacoby Gillespie's in. Jameer Young is out. Julian Reese is back. Deshaun Harris-Smith is back. Derek Queen is in. It's gross still, but there's talent there. Are they better or worse than 62nd?
They will be better. They will be better. I understand that it's a little bit gross still, but I think Gillespie's one of the better guards in the country as far as transfers. I think he's going to be really good. Derek Queen, we all know my love for him. I think he's going to be good. Not necessarily the biggest fan of the fit with him and Julian Reese, but I think it'll work. I think they'll make it work. If they can just find some type of shooting. I know that they were in the portal. They're in the portal still trying to add people. Connor Seaton was actually just recently on a visit there. If he could provide some shooting on that team, that could really help them out. If Deshaun Harris-Smith can do anything offensively this season, that would also help them out. Maybe he, you know, bounces back somewhat his sophomore year. I think that team's going to be better.
I think you have to bet on better just because it was such a disaster season at 62. But I'm really concerned. Like I don't think they're a top 25 team unless you get a legitimate shooting threat that is like a starter level player here. I also like, I kind of wish Deshaun Harris-Smith would just leave, go somewhere else, like with all due respect. But like, is that really a guy you want to like bank your whole season on again in a starting role?
I thought they're still active in the portal. We don't know.
I guess. It seems to me like he's our starting shooting guard. We'll see what happens. And that seems gross to me. Okay. Where are we here? Moving down the list. Penn State, 77th.
Worse.
Yeah, I think they get worse too. I think you see some true colors from Mike Rhodes emerge as time goes on, and I don't think they're good.
Yeah. They're also not playing a lot of games in the rec center.
Yeah. Minnesota, 78th.
Worse.
Why worse? I'm going better here.
They lose Payne.
That's it.
Are they getting Garcia back?
They're getting Garcia back. I believe they're going to get Christie back after he goes through the draft stuff, unless he declares. Hawkins is back.
Okay, actually, I changed that. I forgot they're getting Dawson Garcia back. They're going to be better.
I think better, too. I think this was a good core that figured some things out at the end of the year, and they just need to do it from the beginning of the year next season.
He needs to get Christie back. He needs to He needs to get him back.
If Christie is back, which I think will happen, they're going to be really good, though. Like, really, like a problem in the Big Ten. USC finished 15-18 in the Pac-12, 85th on KenPom.
They're going to be better.
I don't think so.
Muss is going to get some guys.
Where was Muss's team this year? Muss's Arkansas team was worse than this USC team.
It's tough to play when the drama is surrounding the program.
But that's the point, is Muss doesn't have guys to bring with him right now. So, like, Muss is really starting from scratch.
But he'll get guys, though.
In a year or two down the line. Like, if you don't have guys you can bring with you and there's no one to inherit from the last roster, good luck.
It'll be better.
I'm taking worse. I think USC could be the worst team in the Big Ten in year one of the Muss era. And then it'll get spicy from there. Indiana, 91st. I have them in my top 10, so I'm saying better.
Yeah, better. Easily better.
Highest riser to me from year
one. They were 91st?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Rutgers at 100. They went 15-17 last year, and now they bring in the two best players in the country. Other than
better.
Are we sure?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
I'm positive.
I'm going to say better, but I'm not sure.
I'm positive.
I think this offense could be a disaster. And like last year's offense was 298th in KenPom. The defense was fifth. If the defense drops to like 100 because you got freshmen that don't want to guard and the offense is still bad, there's a world here where it's train wreck season. There really is.
They would be better.
Your defense ain't going to be nearly as good without Cliff.
Defense from defense.
What, Pikel's going to actually coach a good offense for the first time in his career?
30 heart.
I don't know. I don't think I see it. I skipped over UCLA. Excuse me. UCLA is 98th.
I think they'll be higher.
This league stinks. I think UCLA is going to be higher too, but it's just a pure hope. Hope that Sky Clark's good.
This league just stinks.
Well, like UCLA's best player, Sky Clark, and we love Sky, but like
they got Kobe Johnson too.
Yeah, you're right.
Did they get somebody else that I'm missing?
Is Mara coming back or any of those dudes back?
I have no clue, to be honest with you.
The one, Jan Vide's in the portal. I haven't heard about the other guys that were supposed to be good that stunk.
Dylan Andrews was solid last season. They get him back.
Yeah, true. All right, and last but least, Michigan, 128th last season.
They'll be better.
Will you say that one again?
They'll be better.
A lot better.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You guys were the worst KenPom team in the Big Ten last season?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Did you not expect that? We won 8 games.
Bum asses.
A lot better.
Awesome bum.
Say it, Cart. Say it.
Y'all are going to be better.
How much better? A lot better.
I like, you said you're 128. You'll probably be like 77 spots better.
A lot better.
You will be a lot better. Can be a lot worse.
Just want to hear you say it.
I don't know if you can be worse. Can it be worse?
It's about to get real dusty in here, Cart. It's about to. It may get dusty in here. I don't know.
My theory about dusty, though, is that's his – he just lets everything get dusty, and when the dust settles and the dust clears, there might not be anything there.
Except for Final Four runs.
No, I'm talking about all this hoopla, all these players, all the dust clears. There's no one there.
Hmm. No golden hour?
You get one Vlad Golden, and you'll like it, and then go home.
Great player.
That is a great player. Who's passing to him? Jace? And George Washington III?
No, we're working on guards.
Working on, okay.
It's probably still like a snap my fingers, Bruce Pearl, give me your backcourt. Like that's, hey, Bruce.
Okay. Hey,
Bruce.
I like,
Bruce. That is. Bruce. That is. Bruce. Calm down, Bruce. Ours now, Bruce.
Okay.
Mine, also, Bruce. Also,
I am seeing a lot of the guards that you're in for shaking astronomical amount of ass for a lot of programs right now.
Like who?
Like, Seijin's all over the country taking visits, taking pics.
Yeah, Seijin's an afterthought. If he wants to come, fine. If he doesn't, we're not worried about Connor Seijin.
John L. Davis out here definitely shaking.
John L. can shake. John L. Oh, when you can shake like that, you get a price tag on you.
That's crazy statement right now. Insane statement. No, I'm like you said, like, let's get over. Look at this one. Here's the hump. It's elevated. Let's get over that. Let's get one.
Right. We have a hump to get over for sure. We do. We do. The nice thing about our hump is our hump was created by a guy who's no longer in the program. Like, he's not allowed in the facilities.
Oh, so, no. He's still there.
No, he's not.
Oh, yes, he is. As long as his son's on the team, he has a way in.
He's not there.
Then,
you know, the interesting thing about your program is the hump that's your program is trying to get over is created by the guy in charge of the program who's never leaving until he dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And still yet, what, 100 some spots better than you on Kenpom?
It was a bad year last year, man. It really was. The fact
that I'm still here. Bad year for us, too.
It was, yeah.
Bad year, 16th on Kenpom.
Well, I don't know that it was a bad year for y'all. I think, honestly, last year was one of your better years in recent memory. Should we move on?
One big thing presented by – one big thing. You're out, Big B.
We haven't done our third topic yet.
Yes, we did.
Reed Sheppard.
Oh my God. I'm tripping.
Quickly, is Reed Sheppard gonna return?
No. He's not gonna return.
If not, do you have a problem with the way Mark Pope is parading him around as if, because I have a thing on.
I don't have a problem with it because I think he has to do that. He has to do anything right now to drum up positivity within the fan base and everything that's going on.
So he needs to lie.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to lie. The thing is, it might not be a lie. Maybe he truly thinks that he can come back. Maybe even Reese Shepard gave him an inkling that he could come back. But I just have a hard time thinking a top five pick is going to turn that down to come back to play with Aliyah Khalifa.
Okay, if you haven't heard this, if you're a Kentucky fan watching this video and you haven't heard other things of ours in the past, I am currently at war with a man named Jakus. Okay, Jakus was a former Baylor assistant head coach who is now the head coach at Florida Atlantic. Why am I at war with John Jakus? Because my head coach is Dusty May. Dusty May left Florida Atlantic. Jakus took over Florida Atlantic. I had no intention on being at war with John Jakus, but when John Jakus went to his introductory press conference at Florida Atlantic in Boca. What did John Jakus do, Cart? John Jakus looked the room in the eyes, and he said some simple words that were, I don't know if you've noticed, but none of my players are in the portal. He was alluding to John L. Davis, Vlad Goldin, Elijah Martin, Nick Boyd, Giancarlo Rosato. Go down the list. That's what he was alluding to. He said, give me till Monday. And I don't know if you noticed, none of those players are in the portal. He got standing ovation. He got applause from people. He thought that was an accomplishment, an achievement to rally the fan base and win the fan base at the press conference. 48 hours later, they were all in the portal. None of them will play for Florida Atlantic next year. This was a Jakus move from Mark Pope. And again, I've made it a joke that, like, Jakus is my op. What a loser. Ha ha. I'm dancing on his grave. It's not good that Kentucky's head coach is leaning on, like, hey, the clear lottery pick that was John Calipari's player is, like, the heartbeat of my team next year.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
We're going to shepherd in some guys. Like, I think it's a lie. I think he's clearly going to the draft. And there's a video of him hugging Reed Sheppard's dad And it looks like he's mouthing the words, I know, he's gone. So, like, just a lie, just a bold-faced lie, number one. Number two, I can't believe Kentucky fans, like, obviously you'd be excited about Reed Sheppard, but if Mark Pope's huge sell in year one is like, I'm going to convince Cal's best player to return for me and do me a favor, I'd be terrified. Like, that's not a good sign that Mark Pope has any juice here. Just like, I'm going to go beg a guy who should clearly be in the NBA right now to come save me in year one. Like, I hate that. I think that's loser energy. I think it's Jake's energy.
Yeah, and a lot about what we talked about with Kentucky fans is that, oh, Mark Pope's going to be moving different because he has the UK brand background. And his first move, basically, is to get a handout. Like, I played with you. I played with your dad. Come play for me for one more year. Don't go to the NBA and be a top five pick.
Also, don't think it's fair to Reed Sheppard or his family at all. And, like, again, I'm speaking for me. They can be unselfish and feel a completely different way about it if they want. But, like, if you were, like, a fringe first-round pick, it's one thing. Like, oh, you come back. We'd love to see you back. This dude should go pro. Like, just straight up, Reed Sheppard should go pro. He should go to the league. It is what is best for his career. And I think it's incredibly selfish of the new coach to, like, put all this pressure on a kid, use him in that way to, like, win the press conference and rally the fan base around you when he should leave. Like, this, Reed Sheppard should not even think twice about this. And instead, this new guy, BYU's head coach, is, like, using him as his campaign for why Kentucky's going to have exciting stuff next season. I think it's crazy.
Yeah, I can't give you one good reason why he should come back. Not one.
None. Yeah.
Crazy. And Mark Pope should be pushing that.
Right. It's crazy. But if they do get him back, crazy. Like, that'd be good.
if Reed Sheppard does come back as an NBA GM, I'm docking him points.
Yeah.
You're choosing to go back and play with Dalen Hall?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, come on.
I just want it known, head coaches in their introductory press conferences using players from the previous coach's roster as, like, a reason to win the crowd over. It's a huge pet peeve of mine.
Didn't Dusty kind of allude to that?
No, I don't think so.
I thought he made, like, a little sly comment. He's like, yeah, like, I'm not, but, you know, those, they're coming or something like that. Didn't he say something, like, little cryptic?
His FAU guys or Michigan guys?
FAU.
Well, that'd be different. Like, coach bringing players with him. Like, if Mark Pope wants to hit the podium, be like, yeah, Ali Khalifa's
coming. Oh, okay. I got you.
Because that's Mark Pope's guy. Go talk up your guys. Don't come on the podium and be like, John Calipari's best player, who's clearly not coming back. He might come back. And everybody claps for you. Like,
do we hate Musk for pulling the Bronny move then?
Yeah, I think it's lame. I think it's incredibly lame to hit the podium and act like, well, I'm getting this guy back next year when, one, you're probably not, and two, it puts pressure on the kid, and three, you just look stupid doing it.
I agree with you.
All right, that's my take. What's the percent chance Reed Sheppard comes back?
2.
I think it's higher than that, but I think it's like 10% max. I'll be stunned.
One of these days, I want to say a percentage, and you're like, I'm with you.
One day it might happen.
Well, it probably won't, though, right?
Probably not, no. One big thing presented by Big B. What do you got today?
My one big thing is that we're dropping Big B as our sponsor to One Big Thing.
Who's the sponsor?
We are now on the search for a new sponsor that we'd like to secure in the next 2 weeks, but it'll just be One Big Thing moving forward.
You're pulling rank on this? I don't know if I feel great about this.
I'm pulling rank on this.
Okay. So One Big Thing, presented by no one.
Presented by could be you with the correct chance. Please email us at thesleepersmedia@gmail.com for any inquiries about possibly sponsoring this segment. We are open to all different avenues on that and have different packages available on the services we can provide. If you would like to sponsor one of what I would say is our most popular segment, and some people tune in just for this segment, it could be some great branding for your company, brand, whatever it might be. Please hit us up in the email, DMs, whatever it may be. We are open to any and all opportunities that might come with this. My one big thing today is
getting a second big thing?
Oh, that was just my pitch to get people to. Should that be my one big thing?
Well, you said my one big thing is that one big thing is no longer presented by Bigby. But go on. What's your second big thing?
Oh, no. My second big thing, besides the one that's not, what I'm saying, is the best pop is Diet Coke. And I'm not trying to hear anything else about it. Like, I used to be a Sprite guy, but Diet Coke is the superior pop, soda, whatever term you want to use, carbonated beverage.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I had a Coke Zero yesterday. It stunk. It stunk. It was gross.
Remember when Riley started twerking outside outside the stadium for Coke Zeros?
That was crazy. Crazy. I really love Riley Davis. I really do. My one big thing, presented by no one, is I watched the show one day. I cried. I cried real grown man tears at the end of one day.
Did you finish it?
Yeah.
Is that it? Is there another season or is that it?
No. Just a limited series. There, I think, were 14 or 15 episodes. There used to be a movie. So it's all based on a book. Then there was a movie, I think, in like the early 2000s with Anne Hathaway that I think the movie stunk, but I haven't seen the movie. The trailer looked horrible. But then now it's a Netflix show with Leo Woodall, who was one of the characters in White Lotus. And then I don't know who the girl's name is. I have no idea, but great actress. Anyways, it's a great series. I cried. I cried real grown man tears. It's the most I've ever cried at a show or a movie or anything.
Can't remember the last time I cried at a show or a movie.
Yeah, you don't strike me as a big crier.
Yeah, not really.
Like, I feel like trauma could happen to you personally and you would just sit there like you are right now.
What percent chance you think that would happen?
Like 80%.
Yeah, we would have been off on that one. We'll get there one day.
Thanks for watching. We'll be back tomorrow.